Blog Talk Radio.
Hello and welcome, everybody. Today is Monday, July 26, 2010. I'm Doug Kelly. I'm here with John Rossi. John?
Hey, hello, everyone.
And Mike Jones. Hey, Mike.
Hey, how's everybody doing?
Tonight we've got an interesting little experiment to begin with that we talked about last week. I don't think we talked about it on the air last week, did we?
I can't remember that long ago,
probably
Doug.
Probably not. I don't think we did, but it's a remote viewing experiment, and we're going to get into that in just a moment. We would like to welcome everyone in our chat room and those who might be listening live elsewhere, also those who are listening to the archive. If you are listening live, we would love to hear from you, so if you've got questions, type them in the chat room, or you can call us up at the number on your screen if you have a question or comment. And you'd like to get in on the fun, and this is some fun, eh, guys?
Hey, absolutely. Doug, I just wanted to, you know, I was thinking about what you said before we came on the air, and after carefully considering it, I really don't think that Sharon is a skinwalker.
Oh, that was a good one, John. Set me up. Sharon, we had no such conversation. And I do believe you are, so your secret stick with me.
Well, she's not a Lancer Cup, that's what you mean.
Yeah, that too. All right, so let's talk about the experiment we've done this week that we're going to reveal tonight in connection with remote viewing. Which one of y'all's idea was this anyway?
If it was a good idea, I think it was mine, but if it doesn't do well, it was Mike's.
I'll claim it.
Yeah, it was Michael's.
Okay, cool. So let's explain the premise of this experiment, Mike, to our listeners.
Okay. What we've essentially done is I asked Doug to find any picture he wanted to find, identify the target on the picture, and assign it two random four-digit numbers. And he would be the only person knowing what this picture was. Then I asked him to relay the two four-digit random numbers to John Rossi, which what that did is that produced the first blind, since John doesn't know what the picture is either. Then John turns around and relays the number to me for the remote viewing session, which produces a double blind, because it's twice removed now from the actual origin of who picked the picture. And what we did is we waited till this afternoon, and John relayed the coordinates to me, and I did the remote viewing session. I haven't seen the picture. They haven't actually seen the remote viewing session in result, and we were going to go ahead and post it up for everybody live during the show so we could all just kind of see how badly I did together.
All right, so to be clear on this, there's only one person on the planet, in addition to my wife, because I just told her earlier tonight, there's only two people on this planet who know what the target picture is. That's myself and my wife, and she's not here. So effectively, there's only one person on this planet who knows what the target picture is. And John, you do not know what the target picture is, right?
That's correct, I don't.
The only thing that John had was the coordinates, two sets of four numbers, and he gave those to Mike. And so we haven't really seen Mike's results. Mike doesn't know what the picture is. And so we're going to do this kind of, you know, unfold it. You know, if we were like any other radio program, we'd keep you hanging until the end of the show, wouldn't we?
Oh, absolutely.
But we're not like that.
We could draw this out.
Yeah, everybody's going, oh God. Okay, so Mike, you go ahead and upload the picture. The picture's going to be in the Paranexus forum. It's in the public forum, and I'll get you the I'll type in the address while Mike is uploading his version of what he thinks the picture is, and I'm going to put the link in the chat room. And if you go to, go ahead.
I was going to say, if they go to the link, it's going to be the very first.
Yeah.
This post in the thread.
That's where you'll be looking, is the very first post. And if you were listening to the archive of this, you can still see it. You just need to go to paranexus.org, click on the top navigation bar where it says forum, and then you need to go to the public forum events, and the title of this thread is Radio Show Remote Viewing. Radio Show Remote Viewing. So, Mike, tell me when you've got that uploaded.
It is uploaded and ready.
All right, so let's take a look at what Mike has come up with. This will be the first time I've seen it and studied it. As soon as it refreshes, you'll need to refresh your screen if you're listening to it live. Okay, I am clicking on the picture to look at it full size. Interesting.
Sharon. No, Sharon, we don't have to print it and put it on our foreheads.
What does that mean?
I have no idea yet.
All right, maybe so I'm looking at this picture, and I'm looking at some of Mike's comments. He's got two peaks that kind of look like mountains. Would you say that's what it looked like, John? In fact, John, why don't you just describe this part of it?
Okay, well...
So you don't know what the target is.
No, I don't. Well, in the background, there's, I guess two mountain peaks would work. He's clearly got two inverted Vs. But then in the center of the picture...
Could be teepees, too.
Teepees?
Yeah.
I won't say what else it could be because I'm not sure we're that kind of show.
Move along. Nothing to see here.
Okay. And then in the center of the, which would be, I guess the main focus, there's three circular objects. And correct me if I'm wrong, Mike, but in the style of remote viewing that you're doing, does circular objects indicate like life forms?
That's life forms, right? The flat line, your horizontal line, means landscape. Usually peaks will mean like teepees, mountains, could be pine trees, could be a lot of different things. When you get rectangular or angled structure, that's structures or openings. So.
Okay.
Sweeping lines could be roads.
Okay. Now, the thing that I need to be clear or make sure our listeners are clear on, these things aren't necessarily what you're drawing is an accurate representation, but more of a, I don't want to say metaphor, but it's highly symbolic. Is that correct?
Yeah, it's symbology pretty much, yeah.
Okay, because like the three circular objects aren't like the little Pac-Man monsters or ghosts running down into a little square or something, right?
Well, it could be.
Well, you're right. It could be.
So yeah, what do you make of the circles? I mean, what is that supposed to mean?
To me, felt like people.
Okay.
I mean, that's how it felt. I was seeing, three people in front of a structure, and then a fourth person off to the side.
All right, well, what about our listening audience? Do y'all have any ideas on what this could be? Anybody want to take a guess at what this target could possibly be? If so, type it in the chat, and we will wait just a moment, and I'll post the target picture. I'm just looking at it to... So, Mike, is there any impressions or anything that you want to add to this?
Well, my construed imagination being taken in consideration here. I was getting the feeling that this is like a resort reservation. It was like somebody's on vacation. It's one of those vacation pictures. It's the way it felt.
Okay. Anything else? Any other impressions?
Happiness. Got a lot of that during the, and a lot of familiarity involved.
What do you mean?
Well, just the structures and stuff I was coming across as far as, you know, what you're doing essentially is you're not thinking about directly about the object. You're just letting things fall out of your head as far as terminologies, descriptor words, and familiar kept popping up. Happy kept popping up, outdoor, daylight, warm, you know, stuff like that. I was hearing talking and shuffling. Got the sense of people being there. And if you look on the drawing itself, those are actually the descriptor words, and you'll notice there's like in brackets X, A, and B.
Mm-hmm.
Those descriptor words go along with those items.
Right.
So.
Okay, so you did this remote viewing. You ended it at 3:23 p.m. Central Time.
Yes.
Today.
Hey, Doug, can I ask Mike something?
Yeah.
I know that, you know, in your level of training, Mike, at this point, in terms of the course that you're taking and your development, that you're only doing remote imaging to a certain level. They haven't, like, got you all fine-tuned in there yet. Is that correct?
That's correct. This is more the just getting you to start identifying the general premise of what you're looking at.
Okay, so, for instance, at this point in your training, if these objects end up being major elements in a photo or a drawing or a painting, right? That's what they're looking for you at this point. Is that correct?
That's correct.
Okay.
It's not so much the accuracy as it's more of tuning in on just the major elements of what you're viewing.
Okay. All right. So, and you clearly have done that in terms of, you know, this is a fairly detailed, you know, sketch. Do you at this point feel comfortable going beyond what you have there in terms of who you might think is in the picture?
Do I now say it one more time?
Okay. Are you at a place where you may feel that you have additional information about who or what might be in that picture?
No, not really. You know,
okay.
When you end the session, you literally shut it off at that moment. And I started the session. Matter of fact, I'll post the PDF after we post the picture. But at the beginning of the session, you write down the date and time and everything you start. At the very end, you end it by writing end in the date, or end in the time that you ended it. And then at that moment, you more or less just end the entire session in your mind. So it just cuts off at that moment.
Wow. I'll tell you, Mike.
What?
Impressive.
You're
impressive.
Kidding.
Uncannily impressive. So let's see if we got anybody else in the chat. Nope, nobody's said anything further that I hadn't read. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to go ahead and...
Are you saying that jokingly?
Well, you be the judge.
Okay.
When you see the picture. Give me a moment. I'm working. I'm going to go grab it and upload it. And for the folks listening live, you're going to... In just a moment, you'll want to refresh your screen in the forum post, and you'll see the picture as soon as I grab it here. Okay, we're almost there. All right, you can refresh your screen and take a look.
Holy shit.
Well, Now we have to edit the damn program.
Sorry, guys.
So the target picture is a picture of Machu Picchu. So tell me, was I being truthful or what?
That is scary.
I mean, if you take a look at the your sketch and compare it with this picture, there's some interesting details there that are impressive. So is everybody just awestruck, or do you have any comments?
I'm just putting these side by side so I can...
Well, what I find fascinating is around the mountain areas of my drawing, I've got windy, airy, moist, hard, tall, angular, peaked, and familiar mountains.
So for those of you who have just joined us, we did an experiment today. We planned it last Monday night after Informal Paranormal was over with. Mike and John and I were talking, and Mike came up with the idea to do an experiment. And so I chose a picture last Monday night, 1 week ago. I assigned two random numbers to it, two sets of four numbers to it, which is represented in the file name for Mike. And anyway, so I assigned those two numbers to it. I gave those two numbers to John. He gave those two numbers to Mike, I presume, today. Mike remote viewed it this afternoon, and he did not know, neither one of John or Mike knew the target picture, and I didn't know what Mike had drawn until the show. So Kathy's asking, is there salt water around that place? Not to my knowledge.
No, it's on the top of a mountain ridge.
And Catherine, did you...
River.
Those two numbers are actually identifying the one target. There's not just one number identifies one picture. It's both numbers actually identify the target.
So...
That's amazing.
Actually, you can Google coordinates After Dark Radio saying, but I don't... You can try Googling those coordinates. If they bring up Machu Picchu, I will know that I live in the Matrix.
Hey, if they come up with Machu Picchu, I'm flying to Florida, and you're going to be picking ponies for me at the track.
Oh, no doubt. Lottery numbers, forget the ponies.
I'd be just saying, yeah, I'd say, Doug, just pick any numbers you want. You know?
Mm-hmm.
So what do you think about this, Doug? Do you think this has to do with Akashic Records?
Well, I don't know. This is what's interesting. And I've been, as some of you may know, working on a metaphysical degree course. And I'm right in the middle of a course on attraction and consciousness and all that. And today I was thinking about something, because if we talk about the law of attraction, many of you are aware of it. It came into a greater public awareness with the advent of the book The Secret, the subsequent movie. But, you know, the concept has been around for thousands of years. There have been others who've talked about it in over the last 100 years and written about it. But the whole point of the law of attraction is you put your intent out to the universe. But, you know, there's more to it than just that. You can't just wish real hard and get something. You literally have to focus your intent, be positive-minded about it, not let doubt seep in, things like that. So you're basically putting your intent out to the universe and then looking for opportunities and seizing those opportunities as they come and when they come. You know, it's not going to happen necessarily overnight. But I got thinking about this today, Mike, because this is the same thing. When I came up with those numbers, the first set of four numbers was completely random. I think it was 1863. That was just the first set of four digits that popped in my head, so that's what I used. Second coordinates was the year I was born, it's 1959. And so I put them together, and I just gave them to John. I didn't say, gee, this is the first number that popped in my head, and the second one's my birth year. I just gave him the numbers. And when this picture that I chose, because I went through my library, and if I'm not mistaken, I could be mistaken, but I know that Roseman, see a Paranexus member and a CPFI and a friend of mine, she went to Machu Picchu a year or two ago, and I think she took that picture, but I can't be certain, because I love Machu Picchu, so I have some pictures of it, but I think she might have taken it. But that was the picture I chose, and I uploaded it to the internet last Monday night, even though I didn't use the link that I uploaded, but that whole act of choosing the picture and then mentally saying these two numbers, these eight digits, are now connected to this picture. That very act apparently does something. How else would you know? I mean, how else, what other connection would there be of the numbers to this random picture?
Wait, Doug, did you look in the chat room after dark? Google those numbers, and they come up with South America.
Really?
Huh.
Well,
now, hey, do we have any, like, Twilight Zone background music we can
play? Yeah, really.
Right.
Let me try it. I have to do this myself. Hey, get a calculator. Salon to biennial. I'm just looking real quick. 1863 to 1959.
Well, it would be 18 degrees, 59 seconds, or 59 minutes.
Oh, you're using latitude and longitude.
Yeah.
Oh.
I mean, that's not what it's. That's actually not what it. That's not what it's actually associated with. They're just two random numbers, and you can use, according to what I'm to understand, you can use real coordinates off of a map and have somebody remote view those. Which I may try that here, pretty soon, see what what happens. That'd be kind of interesting.
Got something, John? Comments?
Yeah, I was just reading what Catherine had posted in the chat room, and she was like talking about when she did the remote viewing of these coordinates that she had. She got more than visuals. Her nose tingled. She thought it was salt water, but was having a hard time breathing as if the air was thin.
Well, yeah.
Machu Picchu. I mean, people have get altitude sickness there and stuff because
it's 8,000 feet, isn't it?
Yeah,
it's up there.
So, yeah. So what's interesting is that my understanding is when, like, the CIA was conducting these experiments and essentially had created a team of remote viewers, that certain people had certain, I don't know, abilities, if you will. One would be more visual. One would be more like Catherine's, where she's sensing it's hard to breathe, there's tingling in the lips. And they would take all these different readings and kind of put it together. I don't know. I think it's pretty crazy at this point.
Well, I mean, why does this work? I mean, that's the thing that fascinates me the most. And it was not until, I don't know, a week, in the last couple weeks or so, 3 weeks, whatever it's been, that we've been talking about remote viewing, that I really understood what the coordinates were all about, because I'd always read them, but I never read anything that explained what the coordinates were or what they could be. And so to me, that was one of the things that kept me from arriving at that conclusion. They're just random numbers assigned to this thing. I'm thinking, well, how could they, what, you know, I mean, latitude and longitude, is that what they are? Oh, I can understand that, because they define an address. They're like an address on the planet, right? But then I'm thinking, well, how can you get coordinates for Mars or for Jesus Christ or, you know, for Buddha or whoever or whatever, or a previous time or a future time? You know, what is that all about? And so for me, I personally think that this whole thing that we are able to attach significance simply by an act of thinking is fascinating for studies in consciousness to me.
Well, I mean, when you look at like what was happening here today, I mean, essentially we had Mike was formally doing this experiment, but Catherine did it also. You know, this really kind of speaks to some kind of universal consciousness, some kind of universal thing that people can tie into. And you know what? I never thought I'd ever say something as new agey sounding as that in my entire life, and I'm starting to feel like my head might explode. So if you hear a big bang, it's just me. Because that's just somewhere, you know, I never thought that. I mean, it sounded interesting, you know, when people would talk about it, but to me it was just like, there's just absolutely no way that could be. And now it's kind of like, wow, maybe it is. Because how else do you explain the fact that you're in Florida, I'm in Virginia, Mike's in the garden part of the United States. Where is that? Oh, Arkansas.
Kansas.
I don't know where I don't know where Catherine's from, but
she's Canada.
Canada.
Ontario.
Okay,
so,
then look at this. I mean, that in itself is bizarre.
It's fascinating. And this is the neat thing about it, because this is all linked to paranormal phenomena, or at least potentially to an explanation. One of the resources that I'm researching right now, I'm trying to remember how he talked to the source of all paranormal phenomena, is thought, is what he stated. And this was written actually it was written over 100 years ago. And he had made that statement, all paranormal phenomena is caused by thought. But, it is a new thought type of book, too. So, I mean, could that possibly be? Well, if you look at some of these sightings, I mean, I'm pondering this. I'm not putting it out there as an explanation. I'm just pondering it out loud, thinking out loud about it. What if, you know, is some of this stuff caused by consciousness, by conscious thought, you know, combined with intense emotion? But that's not always the case either. Emotion is not always a part of these sightings. You know, I mean, look at the Bigfoot cases. People see them, and they're gone. You know, no bones, no nothing, really, to speak of. I don't know.
Yeah. Well, you know, I have a hard time when people make these, like, all-encompassing statements where you say all paranormal phenomena, because at this point in my life, I can't think of a single thing where there's an absolute. You know, I guess everyone dies. Yeah, I guess that's an absolute. But you know what I'm saying in terms of these absolutes? So, you know, could a lot of paranormal phenomena be the result of thought? Yeah, absolutely. Because, you know, we've already talked about PK, you know. Essentially, that's a thought process that, you know, is taken to the nth degree. But do I think all of it? No, I don't know. I don't think I'm real comfortable saying that all paranormal stuff is a result of thought. You know, when I see a spirit, is that because I thought the spirit into existence? I don't know. You know, like my friend said, one time I saw a nun. It's like, boy, if I was thinking women to existence, it would have been like Marilyn Monroe or something, you know, but I've got a nun sitting next to me. So, you know, I'm just, you know, you know what I'm saying? It's kind of like, to me, it's like, well, if I was like, you know, bringing these things out of my mind and stuff like that, you know, I think I'd be picking some rather different characters, you know, but I don't know.
Yeah.
Excuse me, guys. Oh. Yeah, I'm
so
interesting.
All right. So, interesting experiment tonight. Double blind RV session, remote viewing session. And, you know, if you're game, Mike, I'd like to do it again.
Yeah, absolutely.
For next week.
Absolutely. That'll work.
What do you think, John?
Yeah, sure. I mean, I think this is interesting. And it's also, you know, Mike's been pretty accurate all along, but things are getting tighter, if you know what I mean. Think the quality of the drawings are starting to have more specific detail as he's continues to do this, which, you know, that's interesting. I mean, that's clearly movement in the direction I'm assuming Mike wants to be going.
Right. Well, you know, here's something interesting. I'm a graphic artist by trade. And one thing that they mentioned in here is to start off basic. You just get your basic symbology down. And for me, I had to turn off that part of me that interprets as an artist what I'm seeing and to draw it. Because my tendency is to over complicate what I'm drawing. You know, I'm trying to make it as accurate as possible. So I had to turn that part of me off and just keep it to the basic symbols. And that's really, I think that's the reason that this tightening process has been happening, is because I'm associating what I'm seeing now in my mind's eye back to paper properly as the course is wanting me to. So,
yeah. So what do you say we get? What do you say we get listeners involved in this experiment?
I think that would be great.
What do you say if what we do is, if you want to be involved in this, and we'll keep it completely blind here, is if you would like to grab a picture that you have online, it has to be on your computer so we can upload it, and, you know, choose one that would be a good candidate for this, and assign two sets of four digits to it, and don't email me the picture. Email me the coordinates only, just the numbers. But you got to be here, you know, next Monday. You gotta, and if you can't be here, you gotta at least email me the picture. But send it to send it to me, D. Kelly. And I'll put it in the chat room, D. Kelly, K-E-L-L-E-Y, or it won't make it to me, D. Kelly at Paranexus.org. D. Kelly, K-E-L-L-E-Y at Paranexus.org. If you pick a picture, pick two sets of four digits, and assign it to it mentally, and then be available next Monday night, because we're going to need you to send it, I'm going to need you to send me the picture so we can upload it, do the same thing again. And, I'll wait to give the coordinates to John and give them to Mike next, you know, as we get toward next Monday, and Mike can do the same thing.
Well, and it depends on how much of a response we get, because, you know, I could see doing two or three.
Yeah. So let's see what we get. And if we get a bunch of them, we may not be able to use them all this week, but, you know, we can use them the following week or something. I mean, I just think this is fascinating.
Well, what's got me really fascinated is this makes the fifth or sixth one I've done. No, it's fifth one. And four out of the five have been good, and the one that wasn't that accurate, I knew going into it that it wasn't going to be accurate because of my emotional state. So, you know, that's unprecedented for me. You know, I call them as I see them, and you know, when you're talking about something that you're not supposed to have any preconceived notions on, I'm not, you know, thinking about this before I do it. What I do is I clear my mind, I get the numbers, and start the process, and at the end, I have the end result. What's fascinating to me is the time that it didn't work that well, I could tell I didn't feel like I wanted to do it, is the best way I could explain it. You know, because I knew that it wasn't going to come out properly. So, but it seems like the clearer your mind is, the more blank your mind is, the better off you do at this.
I just can't get over those little circles you drew. And if you compare it with the picture, you can see them.
Yeah, there's a group of four people in the foreground there.
Yeah. But, well, that's not the circles I'm talking about. I'm talking about that structure on this quasi-pyramid. If you look just in front of the tall peak, you can, if you look at the base of that, you see a little U-shaped structure with circles at the top of it. On the picture.
I'm trying to see. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
See.
There's that pyramidish type structure right at the base of it. It's almost in the center of the picture. You can see that U-shaped structure opened up, facing with circles, you know, built into it at the top of it.
Huh.
So I thought that was, I mean, that just amazing. So, all right, interesting experiment. What else we got?
What do you think about them demonologists there, John?
Oh, please.
Okay, let's talk about...
Never mind. You get me all cranked up here. No. Go ahead, Mike.
So, from a psychic standpoint, what do you think about remote viewing?
Well, you know, I think that there's, like, obviously some huge overlap here. You know, we were talking with Gregor, who's a psychic as well, just the other night about it. You know, I think that it's really interesting that, you know, I was talking to you before you did that one viewing that you weren't as satisfied with the results. And it's like you knew then, because I think that you sensed that you were unsettled, you weren't centered, you weren't focused. There was just too much stuff going through your head that just got in the way of this process.
Right.
And now that you've experienced this, you know, I mean, actually, that was a great learning experience, because you can identify how you feel to whether or not this is an appropriate time to do one of these kind of remote viewings. Because, you know, if you're not in the right place, then there's no sense of doing it.
Right. Well, and that's like today. I wanted to be, well, you know, I'll put it this way. I didn't start the process until I felt indifferent, totally indifferent about anything and everything, you know. And I guess that improves your accuracy to some extent.
Okay. You did an informal remote viewing when we were having a conference call the other day. You want to tell everyone about that one?
Between when Gregory and I were... And all of us were talking?
Yeah.
Oh, well, it was John, Gregory, and I were talking, and Gregory was wanting to get a hold of Doug, and everybody started asking where Doug was, and I said, well, hang on a second. Let me see if I can figure out where he's at. And I said, Doug's sitting on his couch watching TV. And then I said something about it being a detective show, but what I was seeing in my mind's eye was people searching around for something, so I just guessed it was a detective show. And Doug came on, and sure as world, he'd been sitting on his couch watching TV, but he was watching, what was it, Aliens 2? Was that the movie?
Yeah, they were watching, and I was just in on the tail end of it. Mm. And they were walking around. Well, more running around, fleeing.
Yeah, when Doug came on the line, I wouldn't let him talk to Mike. And you know, first of all, I thought Mike was just pulling my chain, and that he probably, like, talked to Doug, like, 2 hours earlier, and it was like Doug was saying, well, I got to go now because I'm going to go watch a show, you know? So I asked Doug, I said, when's the last time you talked to Mike? Yesterday. Okay, where are you right now? I'm sitting on the couch. What were you doing? Watching television? And then I'm like, dang. Okay. You know, what were you watching? Aliens? And then I'm like, well, that's not a detective show. But then I thought about it. It's like, you know, throughout those alien movies, they're always searching for the aliens. So there's always people, you know, looking for something. So, again, you know, that was just like totally impromptu and, you know, 100%.
Well, and that was like my buddy trying to find the lens to his car. And I told him where to go find that. And within about 10 minutes of him leaving my house, he found it and called me on the phone. And then the day that I sit there and told you about the paint in your hair.
That was pretty funny, too. You know, yeah, that was like, I didn't know what to make of that. Because I actually, he tells me, you know, about paint in my hair, and then I realized that I had paint in my hair. And, you know, I'm usually a pretty, you know, non-messy painter. And I probably hadn't gotten paint in my hair in probably, I don't know, 7-8 years maybe. And so for me, that's a real unusual thing. And, you know, he was just like dead on with it. And it's like, wow.
actual location, too, in the head.
That's right. He said exactly where it was, and there was a big glob of it about, you know, the size of, like, I don't know, a 50-cent piece.
Hmm.
Yep. On the left-hand side of your crest, your head.
Yeah, just to the right of the point, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So what other topics do we have for tonight?
Well, let's think.
Sharon's question in the...
What does she have on her desk, on my desk? Lots of stuff, Sharon. And I'm not going to tell everybody about the photos.
She asked, what will Michael do with this skill? The other question. Is that the one? I think, what are you going to do with this skill?
That's a good question. I don't know where to take this exactly yet. I'm just in the processes of learning it. I think this is something fascinating. I've talked to John about this, but I've had glimpses of this before, you know, where I'll be like standing in a parking lot wondering what somebody's doing on the other side of a parking lot, and my visual focus is all of a sudden right where they're at, and I can see what they're doing like I'm looking through their eyes for a split second, and then I snap back over to where I'm at. And I've had that happen on a couple of occasions. I don't know that there were anything accurate because I never had a way to check it, but I don't know that that isn't the same ability. So, you know, that's something that I'll figure out later, I guess, as time goes on. I'm not sure what I want to do with it, to be honest with you. I don't want to do anything bad, though. I mean, this would be something that I think could actually help with investigations, maybe. You know, that would be kind of fascinating thing to look into.
Well, it would be an interesting experiment in itself.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm kind of worried that, you know, Mike's going to, like, develop these, like, superpowers, and then he's going to go to the dark side, and the next thing we know, he'll be, like, the master of the world. And, well, that might not be a bad thing, because he likes me, but I'm not too sure about you, Doug.
Oh, yeah, I'd probably be screwed.
You just got to wear ponytails is all I ask.
Ponytails? Oh, okay. I can do that. Pigtails, I might have to think twice, but...
Yeah, I don't want you changing. Don't change from who you are.
We don't want you to change from the wonderful person that you already are. Just leave us. Yeah. Okay, so, John, didn't you have a couple of topics? We've got about, I don't know, 15 minutes left.
Well,
did you have anything you wanted to get into?
Yeah, I was just I was thinking about maybe we could talk a little bit about what happens when, you know, you're working with clients and they want to make statements about evidence that you've collected that you're not comfortable with where they're going with it.
Okay.
Like, specifically, you know, there's an interesting photo and they want to go around and tell everyone that it's a ghost. Now, how do you handle that? You know? I mean, how do you rein people in that want to go there? And if you can't rein them in, you know, if you're going to be an ethical investigator, what are your options?
Good question. So, what do you do? And let me just give you, for instance, to make sure I'm understanding you. You go on an investigation, the client's absolutely positive, certain that they have a ghost. You discover that it's not a ghost, it's naturally explainable things. And is that what you're saying?
Yeah, absolutely.
So, what's the best method of approach on that?
Well, I mean, you know, I try and educate people in terms of, you know, explaining what they're actually looking at and why I believe that that's what they're looking at. But let's say, you know, you get past that part of the process and they're still insisting on wanting the place to be haunted, or they want it to be a, you know, some kind of paranormal thing. So they're not hearing you anymore. Let's say they take a piece of evidence and they're saying, you know, this is a ghost. And when you look at it, what you know is it's, in fact, just a pipe. You know, it's a trick of light, and it's nothing more than a plumbing pipe. What do you do? You know?
Well, I didn't have this personally happen to me, but one of my team members had it, one of my chapters several years ago, where the client had taken some photographs and gotten some orbs. Yes, I said it. And one of the orbs was at the very top of the picture in the frame, and it was black, and it was even casting a shadow. And I use this in my training presentations too. And this client absolutely convinced that her deceased father was there with her and visiting her, and that was that orb, this black orb that was casting a shadow. And so the team went in, they took pictures, they tried to mimic the pictures that she took or emulate the pictures she took, same angles and all that, and they were able to. And lo and behold, they got a black orb that was casting a shadow. And when they looked, what it was the pull string for the ceiling fan had this little round thing on the end of the pull string. And so it wasn't an orb at all. It was the pull string ornament for the ceiling fan. And when they said, oh, okay, cool, that's what that is, that's easy enough, and they showed her, she would absolutely not accept it, even with the evidence right in front of her. And she even got a little testy that, no, this was her deceased father, and that was all there was to it.
So what did the investigator end up doing in that case?
What could she do? You know, belief, as we've talked about, is probably the most potent force in the universe. If the client's going to believe it, what can you do?
Well, you know, this case that I'm talking to you about is actually one that, you know, is a public event that we do sometimes. And, you know, I guess the options are, you know, you continually kind of rein people in. But if not, you know, personally, I don't see how myself and my team can afford to be put in a situation where things are being said about our investigations that aren't true.
Right.
Because then, you know, it's our credibility ends up becoming damaged. And it makes us look like, you know, we don't know what we're doing.
Well, of course, you know, I don't, but that's a story.
Yeah, no kidding, but, well, I'll tell you what, Doug, I wish I knew a whole lot more than I do know, you know, when it comes to all this, because it's frightening how little we actually know.
Yeah, but it's also amazing how much we do know. How many, I mean, that's something you find out when you go to try to train somebody, how many little different things you got to keep in mind when you do investigations, not the least of which is what you brought up a moment ago on how do you deal with clients.
Right. So can I ask you, how long have you been an optimist? Because you're clearly seeing it as a half-full situation, and I was seeing it as a half-empty situation.
Are you talking about with the client?
No, just basically our knowledge of the field.
I'll tell you why I am, because I refuse to be defeated. I refuse to say I can't or I can't find out.
Okay.
Are you setting me up here?
No.
Who's
no,
that,
I don't know. I don't know. Mike, he might have a mouse in his pants.
No, but I think that's a good question. You know, and I am not going to take no for an answer. And I am absolutely resolute about that. It's just I'm passionate about it. I'm not, you know, I will not buy into the claims that we will never discover what's going on. I just can't. It's like a story I heard Zig Ziglar tell one time. It stayed with me, you know, and I don't know if it's true, but the principle is relevant. And it's about Henry Ford, I believe it was, who back in the day, you know, when they were just had the Model T and so forth, and they had invented a four-cylinder engine, and then they were able to develop a six-cylinder engine, but Henry Ford wanted an eight-cylinder engine, and the engineer said it couldn't be done. And he says, I understand, I hear what you're saying, but I think it can be done, I want you to go do it. And so his engineers go, and they go back to the drawing board, they do all their stuff, they come back to him, and they say, you know, we've tried, it just can't be done. Henry Ford says, you know what, I hear what you're telling me, but I'm absolutely positive it can be done. I want you to go do it. And so they went back to work, and the end of the story is that they did it. And, of course, you know, we have far more than 8-cylinder engine capability nowadays. But the fact is that he wouldn't take no for an answer, and I will not take it for an answer either. We can figure out what's going on. Can we figure it out in a scientific manner in terms of it being falsifiable? In other words, will we be able to prove with the scientific method that it is so? I don't know that specific thing will happen, but I look at the human mind. I mean, they can't locate the human mind. They can't prove that it's a function of brain chemicals. There's too much. And so there's something to be said with a modification of the scientific method. I mean, the scientific method is one method. And I'm not saying let's get all subjective and just believe it or believe in a
solution. Hey, Doug, can I just interrupt you for a second? Because what you're saying is very interesting in a very intellectual way. But there's some really trashy stuff going on in the chat room that I think we really need to be addressing right now, because I'd much rather be reading this kind of stuff than listening to you, to be honest. So nothing personal. Okay. The reason Mike's laughing like a dog is because he's about ready to start bow-wowing. Now, I'm seeing, you know, Jen's asking him what she's wearing, and he's laughing, and you're picking up on that thinking I'm setting you up, and, you know, that wouldn't be the case. But, you know, it's kind of like Mike's asking here, you just got out of the shower before the show, and are you still in your robe? And she's going, oh, not bad, except looks like no robe.
They started asking me what was up.
So here's the problem with the world. I'm talking about meaningful consciousness stuff, and I get preempted with sex.
That's right, buddy. And you know what? We've got our priorities straight on this show.
Well, way it started, I've had several people in the chat room wanting me to remote view them and tell them about stuff, and I've already identified the pink shoe in one case, and then another person, I saw a stuffed animal on their table, and it was actually their cat, and then Jen chimes in and asks me, what is she wearing? And I asked her, I said, I have permission to look, and she goes, yes, and I said, well, okay. You just got out of the shower before the show. Are you still in your robe? And then she goes, no robe, and she just had a shower.
Thanks for that explanation.
So earlier, when you told me that Doug was wearing a pink furry robe and bunny slippers, you weren't kidding?
No, not at all.
I told you not to tell him that.
Well, no, I will not tell them about the man panties.
All right. Okay, so let's get it redirected. All right, we've got 6 minutes now, John. You're on.
Oh, good. Well, I don't know I don't know after all this. This is the most excitement I've had in about a year, so.
I didn't get out much.
Yeah, that's true. So, Mike, all this impromptu stuff going on in... All joking aside, the impromptu stuff going on in the chat room, are you being pretty accurate?
Yeah, I have been, according to them, the responses I'm getting back.
Dude, you're way too happy. I don't know what you're seeing, but it must be pretty good.
I just got booed. I told them I had to focus on the show, and everybody's like booing me. So.
Well, maybe that's the secret of getting more live listeners. We'll talk about this stuff.
Okay. But, no, I've been pretty accurate, evidently.
Cool.
So, what I'm doing, essentially, is I'll tune everything out for a split second, remember the question, and then I get a flash in my mind's eye of the picture, and then respond. And that's all I'm doing. I don't know if that makes sense.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Makes sense.
Catherine was asking whether I was teaching Michael this. Now, I'm just kind of along for the ride. I'm kind of like the backseat driver, I guess.
He's a moral coach. He's been a moral coach in this.
Moral? Well, that's falling apart.
Okay. Oh, yeah. Okay. Now that totally explains all the sex in the chat room stuff going on here.
Yeah.
Well, but.
All right.
You know, just some of the stuff that Mike is experiencing and stuff is stuff that I know that, you know, as I've tried to become more comfortable with certain psychic aspects of my personality, that Mike's struggling with things or trying to make sense of similar things. So I think it's been helpful to just be able to talk about those kind of things and, you know, what it means. And, you know, just, you know, whenever I have an opportunity to validate something that Mike's experiencing, you know, I try to do that.
Yeah.
Well, it's worked.
Well, when he takes over the world, Doug, you can just blame me.
All right. I'll blame you anyway. I don't have to wait for that, do I?
Probably not.
All right, so tonight we did a pretty cool experiment. We did the remote viewing experiment. We're going to do it again next week, and if you want to get in on it, then you can do this. Choose a picture that's on your computer or one that's on a site somewhere that can be accessed. You know, make sure it's not copyrighted and all that, because we need to post it on our forum. Assign 2 4-digit numbers to it as the coordinates, and then email me the coordinates. I don't want the picture yet. You need to be available for next Monday night, because I do need to get the picture from you, so I'll ask you to email it to me next Monday. But send the coordinates to my email address, which is dkelly, K-E-L-L-E-Y, at paranexus.org. dkelly at paranexus.org. Just make sure you spell it K-E-L-L-E-Y, otherwise it won't get to me. And then you can be in on it. And we can take a few, so, you know, we can do 2 or 3, and if we have to do it again the following week, we can. But I think it's a great experiment. And if you've got any ideas on it and want to get in on this, as we ask every week, feel free, you know, beyond just the chat room. If you want to call up and comment on things, we always take that too. Well, when we get it. So this coming week, we have Paranexus consultant David Roundtree on with us talking about some of the different technical things of EVPs and so on and so forth, questions from you. So be sure and be with us on Thursday night at 9 p.m. Eastern. Any concluding comments, John?
Yes, and for you ladies who are worried about what Mike might be seeing next, we can always get a lead blindfold for him, and then it shouldn't be a problem.
Mike, any concluding comments?
No, I'm just fascinated by the entire process. It's, you know, it's something new to me, and I'll be going, you know, getting more in depth on different targets and stuff. I'm wanting to see the level of accuracy and where it breaks, because right now I've got 4 out of 5, which, you know, that suggests 80%. That's what the course is telling me. That's going to be, you know, where the level breaks at 80%. I want to see, you know, I'm wanting to analyze this course and see how much their claims match what I'm experiencing. And then, you know, if it does, you know, I wouldn't mind telling somebody, hey, you know what, this is worth going to do, you know.
All right. Well, thanks. Appreciate you doing that. And we appreciate our live listeners, those in the chat room, and those who are listening to the archive. Thank you very much. Please join us at paranexus.org. If you are involved in anomalous research or just an enthusiast, we invite you to come and join us. A lot of benefits to membership. Until next time, we hope you have a great week. Good night, everybody.
Take care.
Good night. We'll be right back.
Bye.